You can be turning as we begin this morning to the prophecy of Daniel, chapter 2. Prophecy of Daniel, chapter 2. The title of this morning's message, Which Way is the Wind Blowing? Which way is the wind blowing? Stand with me, if you would, in reverence to the Word of God. As we read from Daniel, chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. Father, we bow before You once again. We're so grateful, so thankful to be able to gather together in this facility, whether it be in this room or the children on the other end of the building. Father, I'm asking You that You would be in total and complete control. We've been the knee of our submission to You, asking You to accomplish what You would be pleased to do today. Father, I surely understand how desperately the preacher needs You and Your direction, this wisdom, this knowledge, this illumination that You and only You can give. So, Lord, I'm praying for that illumination, praying for the liberty of a lip to declare what You would want this assembly to hear on this day. Father, please, I do pray. I pray in that lovely name of our Savior that You'd be pleased to deal and work in any heart here today that does not know Jesus Christ. Please, Lord, might this be the day of salvation for them. We will, Lord, as best as these feeble lips can do, give You all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, and of course, may be seated. I really covet your prayers this morning. I always hesitate. I enter into a message like I'm going to preach this morning. As always, I believe it's a biblical message, a message that is based and founded upon the Word of God. And it's usually once or twice during an election cycle, I preach a message somewhere along these lines. And here we are. We are now hot and heavy into another election cycle. I have to say, it's sad and regrettable that it's hard to find a candidate you can really feel good voting for. I mean, feel good about voting for. Rather, you cast your vote out of fear of what the other guy is going to do. Should not be that way. In light of what we just read here from Daniel chapter 2, can I ask you a question? Well, I'm going to anyway. How much have you prayed? How much have you prayed about this coming election? God says, the Bible says, that God's the one that sets up kings and takes them down. So are we praying, God, please set up the leader, set up the ruler that You would have for us at this hour, at this time? Oh, we make, and I do this, we make sport of complaining about our government officials. I mean, it just seems to be part of the national pastime. We rant about the candidates, and I do that as well. But if we believe, again, I make this, if we believe that it's God that is in control, that it is God that is going to, in the end, determine who the next president of these United States is? Should we not be begging him, pleading with him to give? Let me back up and say it this way. That he would be merciful to us and give us the leaders that would be best for the American people. You've probably heard me say this before if we've been in a conversation, but we used to have statesmen. We used to have statesmen who sought to serve their country, political office. Believe it or not, maybe some of you all can remember if you got some of this white hair, no hair. I can remember when leaders of the two major political parties would actually work together to get something done. Those days seem to be gone. We now have politicians who are good at which way's the politically correct wind blowing for me today. Which way is the wind blowing, as we said? Wow. Recently, a dear friend said something about just not following politics, not caring for politics, and I can say amen to that. I actually, beloved, detest politics and all the phony rhetoric that spews out of politicians. But I also understand that I can't dig a hole and hide my head in the sand. We can't do that. We can't do that. We can't dig a hole and stick our head in the good old proverbial sand and neglect our responsibility as citizens. As citizens in having that privilege, and I say responsibility, to vote biblically under the privileges that are given to us by the Constitution of these United States of America. Today, my goal today is really to maybe help us find a little peace in all this mess. A little peace as we go through these crazy and turbulent times. Please stick with me. Please stick with me. We're going to start with the reality of what we really are as humans, and hopefully we'll get to a little better spot. And we're going to stick with this theme of how the wind blows. You'll understand as we go along. It's amazing what the scriptures say about the wind. But we see man's general condition. Now, we could use a lot of the standard verses. Speaking of the heart, how deceitful it is, even beyond even our understanding. We understand indeed that all men are sinners and come short of the glory of God. But listen to this. Some words from the sweet psalmist of Israel, King David. He said in Psalm 78, verse 39, speaking of our God, he says, "For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again." Wow. You know, a person's life is like the wind. David is likening these lives of ours to the wind. It blows by and it's gone. My dear father lived to be 93 years old. Wow. Walked this earth for 93 years. Some of you have relatives that have been blessed that way. Dear Jane Newman, a longtime member of our church, had just been put on hospice. I believe she's 97. Hallelujah. Well, my dad walked this earth planet for 93 years. He's been in heaven now for about 4 years. And as is true for all. His life was as a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Even with all those years. I know that I and my siblings and our family remember him and the impact that he made on our lives. Yes. I can say that he taught me some very important and some practical things that have stood me well along the way. I'm grateful for that. And one day, I too will join him. I too will pass away, and as the wind, not come again. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. David expanded on this statement later in Psalm 103. He writes this, Psalm 103, beginning in verse 14. David adds to this, again, a similar statement. He says, "For he," speaking of God, "knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." Listen, he says, "As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth." And then he repeats that statement. "For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." Do we realize? Time marches on. And the events and the things that take place in life, they're soon, if I can use the state, they're soon in the rearview mirror. What counts? What matters? Living for God. Living for God is the only thing that matters. Oh my. Yes, man's general condition, but we see in this also man's, stick with me, please. I probably could have preached like four messages out of this message, but I just didn't want to go there. And so please be patient with me. We also see man's feeble ability to solve his own problems. Will you have that? Man's feeble ability to solve his problems. We'll look at a few verses here, but really, we can start with what Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 64 and verse 6. Listen to this. He says there, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." What's the best we have to offer this world is trash. "And we all do fade as a leaf." "And all our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Our best, beloved. He says, all our righteousness, the best that we are, is here and gone. Nothing but filthy rags. It's a leaf. We're in that time of the year as things are beginning to dry out, and we're starting to see more and more leaves on the ground. And what happens? In North Texas here, we have thankfully, we have a nice breeze, and it's constantly what? Moving those leaves along. This is the time. This is the time of the year to cut your grass real low so they blow over in the neighbor's yard. Just a hint for you there. Our lives are the same. We like to think we can handle just whatever comes our way. I can handle this. We think we have things under control. Mark it down. I don't think this is a Texas saying, Brother Gary. Mark it down. Just the time you think you've got all those ducks lined up, one of them's going to jump out of line. One of them is going to jump out of line. Remember, we shared in our Sunday school, without faith, Hebrews 11 says, it is impossible to please God. How are we going to walk this life? We either walk this life by faith or we walk it by sight. The difference is walking this life trusting God with each step we take, or we walk this life trusting our wisdom, our thinking, our understanding. And beloved, how's that working out? I confess, yes, indeed, life can get to you. Nobody, y'all look at me like, I don't, maybe for you, preacher. Hey, life can get to you. You seek to do right. You're trying to live for the Lord. But you can begin to feel like you're trying to herd cats. And nothing, you can't control anything. Huh? Am I the only one that gets that? Nothing wants to cooperate. But Paul here lets us know that God is in the... I don't know why I've come up with all the... I'm hanging around with you too much here. Paul lets us know that he is in the business, or God is in the business, of taking the wheels off of our carts. Why is that? So that we learn to depend on Him. So we learn to depend on Him. The wise of this world, stick with me, the wise of this world think they've got it figured out. They believe they have the answers. Really? Their ideas, their wisdom, blinds them to reality. It's the only way I can figure it out. But they think they've got it figured out. They think they know what's best. Not just for them, but for you as well. And their thinking, their wisdom has them blinded. They can't see reality. Stick with me. Facts, reality cannot dissuade them from the vision that has been created by their worldly mindset. Just one example. I'm not going to get into the weeds of the politics of this, but just think about this. We hear a lot about socialism in our day. By the way, they quit teaching history. It's no wonder these poor kids coming out of college have no clue. They quit teaching history. It's all about social justice now. Guess what? They will learn about justice. They're going to learn along the way about God's justice. He says, appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment or justice. Just one example. Socialism. Beloved, socialism has never, I don't know how to say, socialism has never, ever, any place at any time worked. It's never worked. Even when we tried it here in these United States. You ever hear of some folks called the Pilgrims? The Plymouth Colony? You know, they tried socialism there. When they got off the Mayflower, they were going to set up a communal system. Everything will be owned by the community. And we'll all share in what we produce. Well, what happened? Well, if you read history, you study history, you find out in William Bradford's journals, the governor of the colony, that it didn't work. The men wouldn't work. The women said, well, I'm not cooking for someone else's husband, so nobody did anything. And what happened? They about starved. And then they started reading their Bibles. And they set up private property. Oh, and that wicked word, capitalism. You worked, you earned, and you ate. What's the Bible say? If you don't work, you don't eat. Guess what? When they set up those private property rights, things started working. Some have argued that socialism is a biblical concept. It's a biblical concept, preacher. That's not true. That is not true. What was God's plan for his people, Israel, when they entered the land of Canaan? It became their home, became Israel. What happened there? They divided the land amongst those 12 tribes. And within each tribe, they divided the land by family. And those property rights were to be kept for those families in perpetuity. Huh? Read the Bible. Maybe we would get some truth there. Different message, I know. Socialism, beloved, just listen to those that are talking about socialism. You want their wisdom? Socialism is a product of man's foolish wisdom. With that said, then, I don't want man's wisdom. Jim Turner needs God's counsel. God's counsel is essential. Put in your life, determine. You are going to put the priority on godly counsel, biblical counsel. If we need a definition for that. Listen to this interesting statement from God's book of wisdom, Proverbs. In Proverbs 29, verse 12. Listen to this. This is terrific. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. If a ruler hearken, give heed, listen to lies, all his servants are wicked. Now, just think about that a moment. What sort of counselors will a wicked man gather around him? Wicked. Wicked. He's going to want to hear from people that think like he thinks. That's a wicked man. Fortunately, the contrast is available. Guess where we find the contrast? Oh, yes. Right here. Three times in Proverbs, Solomon endorses getting counsel from others. I'm going to read them real quickly, not make a lot of comment. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Listen to this. He says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. I like that. There's safety. There's security. In the 15th chapter of Proverbs, verse 22, he says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Plans are defeated. Purposes are disappointed. But again, he says, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. When you're making plans, he's saying, look to counsel. Look to counsel. In the 24th chapter, verse 6, he says, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. And in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. It's obvious. Solomon's telling us, look for good counsel. Look for wise counsel. That begins right here. Right here. You need to make decisions in your life. What does God's word have to say? What are the principles laid down in God's book if you're going to need to make those decisions? Now, this is obviously good counsel for all of us, not just for our leaders. Hopefully, you seek counsel from others, godly counsel. But where do you get your counsel? Are you like that wicked ruler that looked to get your counsel? Now, tell me if this isn't true. We have this propensity. We have this way about us. We'll look for counsel from folks that we think will agree with us. Huh? A wise man gathers counsel from a diversity of opinion so that he can glean from that. Or he or she. We need to get wise counsel. Look to counsel from folks that you believe, to the best of your discernment, are living for God. Huh? I mentioned my father earlier. As much as I loved him and as much as he taught me, my father didn't get saved till very late in life. And so as a young Christian, along the way, it would depend. There were times when I would go to my father for counsel, but if I needed godly biblical counsel, I was looking to my pastor, I was looking to leaders in our church, because why? I wanted godly counsel. I needed godly counsel. Now listen to this. As we mentioned earlier already, we realize our ultimate counsel needs to come from God's book. Applying it to our day. When you pray for your leaders, as we're instructed in Scripture to do, when you pray for your leaders, make sure you pray for those that are giving them counsel. How important is that? Would you not say that it's important to pray for those that have the ear of our leaders, whether it be the president or our senators, our congressmen, our governor? They all surround themselves with folks to give them, what do they call them? Advisors. But by any other word, it's where they get their counsel. We need to be praying not just for that leader, yes, that he would discern through all that maze of advice and counsel we get, but pray for those counselors. Jeremiah, listen to this. The prophet Jeremiah says this, chapter 29, verse 7. It's interesting. Jeremiah prophesied during that time when Judah and the city of Jerusalem were under siege from Babylon. As Babylon conquered Judah, they carried what? Carried thousands of people off to Babylon. Jeremiah said this to those people. Listen to this. Jeremiah 29:7. Speaking to those people, he says, "Seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. And pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." I had never seen that verse before. I'd read it dozens of times over the years, but it never stuck with what the import of it. Here it's an amazing statement, isn't it? Here he is talking to the people of Judah and Jerusalem that had been carried away prisoners, captives. He tells them to pray for the peace of the city that was holding them captive. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, it's God's sense. He tells them to pray for the peace of the city. Why? Because if God is pleased to give that city peace, you will be in peace. And what did he say? For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. God said it. God said it. Well, what's world's wisdom on this? What is the world's wisdom that we are experiencing even in this day? Well, life's not fair. Life's not been fair to me, so I'm going to riot and rebel. I'm going to burn and destroy. I'm going to reject law and order. Am I imagining that? It's like the picture of the newsman that's talking on the news. The film is going, and he says, and there, all you see behind him is fire. And he says, well, the protests are relatively peaceful. What? The insanity of it. What is it? What is his problem? His foolish human wisdom has him blinded to the reality. Don't confuse me with facts, the fellow said. Wow. It's insane. And it is counterproductive. It's all that's going is counterproductive. The rioting, the burning. I'm not talking about a peaceful protest. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what the reality of what's going on. It's counterproductive. What's left in those neighborhoods that are being burned? Who is left in the neighborhoods to pick up the pieces? The very people that were there struggling to live their lives, and now they're struggling to put their lives back together. God's wisdom, beloved. God's wisdom is far, far superior to man's wisdom. Just with that same thought in mind, praying for the peace of the city, the place where you live. If you were trying, if you had plans to start a business this year, 2020, next year, where are you going to do it? You would start that business in a place that you thought was going to what? Enjoy relative peace. And what happens? When that person starts a business, those around are prospered by that. Huh? There's jobs, there's whatever comes out of that business. But who would start a business? Who would be crazy enough to start a business in the heart of a city that's on fire? Thirdly, try to move along here. Man looks at circumstances. Man looks at circumstances rather than believe God. The just shall live by what? Faith. Walk by faith rather than sight. But man, lost man, looks at circumstances rather than believe God. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 4. Listen to this. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4. Listen to this. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. What's Solomon saying? Well, it's a little too... Looks like I see a cloud over yonder. I think it's probably going to rain. I'm not going to bother plowing today. Huh? Little breezy out there. I'm going to leave old Fred in the barn. He that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. Meanwhile, what's happening? The harvest rots. You see, beloved, where we begin, that person who has his finger in the air, waiting for the wind to blow favorably before they will do anything, will do nothing. Did you hear me? That one that's waiting for the wind to blow just right before they're going to do anything will end up doing nothing. Because there's always an excuse. Oh, I feel a little tired today. I guess I'll just roll over and go back to sleep. Huh? Who has the answers? Who has the answers for what's going on? I don't believe either of them, either of those that are waving their party banners. I don't believe that's where the answer is. And indeed, as we've said it before, 2020 is certainly a year for the record books. It'll be one year we'll probably be ready for New Year's, huh? Ready for 2021. It's been indeed a crazy, crazy year. Now listen, between the virus and the violence, life has been as uncertain as I can remember. But not only that, it seems like hurricanes have been more common than good sense. Between the fools and the Washington swamp, and the fools in the media, we are being overwhelmed with. I was trying to think of a kind word. I don't know one. Deceit. We have government leaders that are, listen to this, that are manifesting an intoxication with power and their desire to control people's lives. They don't want to govern, they want to rule. They've forbidden churches from meeting for worship while endorsing and defending the rioters. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Yes, we wonder what is going on. What is going to be the end of this? How is this going to come together? And you see the foolishness, the wickedness all around us. And you may start to wonder, why has God let them get away with all this? But you know what I always say? I've said this so many times. God doesn't always pay on Friday. It is appointed, as we said earlier, unto man once to die, and after this a judgment. There is a time of judgment. Where are we going to be? Man needs. That's not even a strong enough word. But man needs God's direction. It doesn't surprise me that the world is so messed up. It should not be surprised that this world rejects God's direction. It shouldn't surprise us. And in the current social climate, a man running for office that professes a faith in God is mocked. Mocked. If they actually would speak for the things of God. Even worse than that, I've heard him considered dangerous, such people. Such people are dangerous. Gotta watch out for those people that think God speaks to them. Do you believe God speaks to you and directs your life? I hope so. You're dangerous. Yes, He's painted as dangerous because he would stand for what is right and good. He might lead in a direction that might actually seek to correct some of the evils. Got to watch out for him. Again, what's the Bible say? We're in the midst of a generation that calls good evil and evil good. Right wrong and wrong right. Everything's like turned upside down. You see, I guess it gets back a little bit closer to home here. Man, humanity, seeks a comfortable religion. They want a religion that feels good to them. But there's a big difference between religion and Christianity. A big difference between being a Christian and being religious. We're overwhelmed today with religion. Even politicians want to claim, well, they're people of faith. What does that mean? What does that mean? The popular religion of our day is one that seeks to make folks feel good even in their sin. Comfort them in their sin. Religion that mocks those. Hey, we've got a religion today that mocks those that actually say the Bible is God's word and should be believed. We're in the midst of it. Paul told us, I'm getting there. Paul told us that this day would come. Turn with me, and we'll be finishing up here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He told us, he warned the folks in the first century that this day would come. Listen, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's writing to a preacher, a man of God, Timothy. He tells him in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a pretty strong charge, is it not? I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall, not might, not possibly, shall judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. What did we say earlier? A judgment is ahead. He tells him in verse 2, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Listen, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Wow. Paul said the time will come. I don't believe I'm a conspiracy theory guy, but I believe that time has come. We're there. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure. The idea, they're not going to put up with. They won't put up with sound or good, correct doctrine, teaching. But after their own lusts, after their own wicked desires, is the idea of the words. After their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Ears, huh? You've heard this before. The idea of those words is get teachers that just tickle their ears a little bit. What's the idea? Make them feel good. You're such a good person. I'm going to help you to be a better you. Huh? That's not God's message. God's message is to make you a new you, a new creation. A new creation in his son, Jesus Christ. Not a better old you. No, Paul told the Galatians in chapter 2 that to be crucified with Christ, huh? The old man is to be put to death so that God could resurrect a brand new man in and through his son. Now, listen. Oh, my, I don't know whether to go on here or not. Just give this to old age. I'm not even hangry yet. There's a time when I'd be far more cautious concerning what I said about elections. I guess I've gotten to the place I just don't care anymore. Just don't care if I make everybody happy and make everybody feel good. I recall an evening service years and years ago, long before I was here at Metropolitan, where I simply made a statement in one of these election years about what the Bible said about a specific issue. I don't even remember what the issue was. But I remember after the service, I closed my Bible and I was walking down. And man, there was a couple came to the front of the church and their faces were red. They were furious at me. They said, "You have broken the law. You're not allowed to say things like that in churches." I said, "Did I say something that the Bible doesn't say?" "Well, that's not the point." "You want me to quit preaching the Bible?" Yeah, there was a time when I was a lot more careful. God will deal with false preachers. God will deal with false preachers. That prophet we mentioned earlier, Jeremiah, chapter 22, verse 22, he says this. Listen to this. Talk about the wind. "The wind shall eat up all thy pastors." He's talking to Israel. Because they had pastors then that were preachers then that were wanting to make them feel good. It's not as bad. Peace, peace. In reality, there was no peace. The conquerors were at the door. "The wind shall eat up all thy pastors, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness." God will deal with false preachers. You see, many, many folks don't want a preacher that is committed to declaring the truth of the Bible. They don't want their pastor challenging them to vote with their Bible and not with their wallet. Huh? How many folks will vote in this election season based on what some guy promises to give them rather than what their Bible tells them? I've never said this before, so forgive me if this upsets you. That's not my desire. But if you can vote for somebody from any political party or for any political office who supports abortion, the murder of unborn babies, I wonder if you can be saved. You say, "That's a terrible thing to say." I wonder if someone is truly knows Jesus Christ, if they can say it's okay to vote for somebody that promotes the murder of babies. Oh, here's how they do it. "Well, I don't really think abortion is a good thing, but I want to protect the right of a woman to choose." What is he saying? Well, it's a bunch of hogwash, because what he's really saying is, "I got to protect my base." I'm going to take care of women's right. Women's right to kill her baby. It's number one thing. It's the number one, for over four decades, the number one issue when Jim Turner goes to the poll, as best I can discern from president all the way down to the local official, where do they stand on abortion? You don't have to agree with me, I'm just telling you. Second issue, where do they stand on Israel? Why would God blesses those that bless Israel? Our instruction is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Huh? Put that together. Then obviously we could look at some other things, but those two things are number one and two for me. I'm just telling you where your pastor is. The wind. Which way is the wind blowing for us? What do we say a preacher's responsibility is? To preach the Word of God. We read that passage there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We looked with some detail at verse 3. Verse 3. The situation, the reality of verse 3 has been hastened in our day because preachers have not obeyed verse 2. Are you with me? Amen. What does verse 2 say again? Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. The idea of those words is when it's a friendly audience, and when it's an unfriendly audience. It's what the word means. In the face of friendly or unfriendly, in season or out of season, regardless of the timing, he says, reprove. Convince is the idea. Convince. Reveal wrong. And that couple was so furious with me. They didn't like it because I just put what was wrong out there. And it didn't line up with their particular party or candidate. I don't know what it, remember what it was. They were mad at me. They're to reprove. A preacher is to reprove. He's to rebuke. A preacher's job is to denounce, to express strong disapproval. I've been trying to do that today. He's to exhort, to encourage, to do right is the idea. Huh? To encourage, to do right. With all, it says, with all long suffering in doctrine. Well, I know God suffers long with me. But what's the idea of that? The idea of those words is with patience. With endurance. Continuing. That's what it means. Huh? Paul is saying the preacher's job is to preach this book when it's popular, when it's not popular. Huh? When folks like it, or maybe when they don't. He's to reprove, rebuke, exhort with longsuffering. It means don't you dare stop. Don't you dare quit preaching the truth. And because preachers have stopped preaching the truth, because they have not endured, we're living in this day. Huh? What's it say? For the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine. We're there. Should it be surprising that in certain cities and states across our land, they're trying to keep churches shut down? Huh? I don't think that should be surprising. They want us silenced. They want us silenced. This is one of the few times in 30 years of preaching I've not given time to revealing, preaching the gospel somewhere in my message. But the truth is, beloved, the truth is that without the gospel, I would have never preached this message this morning. I'd still be running with that crowd that was working in the world's wisdom. And so would you. If it wouldn't have been for what Jesus Christ did for each of us. If it wasn't for what Jesus Christ did to change my life. I know I say that all the time. I'm thankful He changed my life. I'm thankful that my dear father, as much as I loved him, was wrong when he said, "Oh, the boy will get over it. It's just a passing fad." 46 years of a fad. He changed my life. Amen. It started with Jesus.
Amen.
How about you? Let's stand together, beloved. Thank you so much for your patience. Father, we bow before you. And Lord, I've not preached, I've not talked about revival and the need for revival in these days, but we know that's what we really need. We need you, oh God, your wisdom. We need that fresh breath from glory to breathe once again in that renewing and refreshing, reviving power. But Lord, I pray for this church. I pray for Metropolitan Baptist Church. And Lord, I understand we're not talking about a building. I'm praying for the people that call themselves Metropolitan Baptist Church. Lord, I pray that in these days of turmoil and in so much confusion, whether it be this crazy virus or the violence or the election, Lord, I beg you in Jesus' name, grant that peace. Grant your presence in such a way that we would be able, through your word, by your spirit, through the teaching and the preaching of the word of God, through our own study, that we would have that counsel, godly counsel and wisdom, to do what is right, to obey you in all areas, every area, that we would indeed walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, I'm so thankful. Thankful for your son, Jesus. So, Lord, thank you for all those years ago. You worked in my heart, revealing my sin and my need of Him. Lord, I don't know that there might well be someone or maybe several in this service right now that need Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, oh God, deal with those hearts. Deal with those lives. Draw them beautifully, wonderfully, savingly to yourself. And Lord, we will, best we can, as best we can, Lord, we will be quick to give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother John.
Page 155.
As we sing, beloved, let the Lord speak to our hearts. Obey Him, do as He'd have you to do, please.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. Yielded and still.
Times will come. The Bible says that. We understand that. And I accept that. We accept that. That it's not going to get better and better. It's going to get worse and worse. But I believe with all my heart that it's still my responsibility, our responsibility, to continue to do what is right. We are to be a light, right? We are to be that salt that inhibits that rottenness. So help us, Lord, help us to continue to be the light and the salt that He'd have us to be. Amen. Amen. Brother John, come.
All right, we're going to change our course up for today. Let's sing Christ is All I Need. It's page 22 if you need the words.
Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need.
You are dismissed.